you, everybody. Oh, it's nice to be here and see your lovely faces. Thank you for all of your support from for Jeff and myself. He says hi. He's overseas at the moment. Be back in August. And I'm just going to jump straight into it with this continuing our theme of Jesus came for everyone. So if we could have that first slide. This is actually painted on the wall of the senior common room in the school where my son David went. It's the class of 2015. And apologies to you all, Australia was behind the couch, and I clipped the couch off the shot, but it was on the wall. It's our reminder, isn't it, that Jesus came for everyone. Now, there's going to tell you something about me that you don't know. Now, well, there's a lot of things about me you don't know, fortunately, but I just wanted to tell you one thing. When I get a book, I always read the first chapter and the final chapter, and if I like them, even though it's given the end away, I'll read the rest. And same with academic books, I read the introduction and the conclusion, and then I read the rest. Well, this month, we've had David introduce us from the beginning of this book, the Bible. He spoke, if you can remember, back then about Noah and the flood, the gospel preached to everyone. He spoke about Sodom and Gomorrah and the judgment of sulfur that came on them. And the invitation that was at the beginning of this book in chapter 1 was God inviting everyone to that place of safety. Come into the ark. Come up the mountain. Repent, and the judgment need not have fallen, actually. It was an invitation for everyone. An invitation for everyone. And so the question I'm asking today is, who is everyone? And to answer that, you never guess, I have to go to the back of the book, right? But before I get there, I'm just going to do a recap of these past 3 weeks, because they've been fantastic weeks. We have this lovely scripture. You are to go into all the world and preach the good news. There should be a slide with that on. You're to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. And it's a historic fact that Jesus commissioned those first disciples to go into all the world, and share history, his story about his life, his death, his resurrection, and then to explain what those events meant, and then invite everyone to accept Jesus into their hearts, and then they could become a part of this worldwide family we belong to. Those 12 then did the same thing. They led people to the Lord, and then they commissioned them to go into all the world and speak the gospel, to share the gospel. It's what Richie and Jeff Milan were encouraging us to do, to see the lost of this world, you know, to hear and respond to God's call to us to go, to take that commission as not just something that was written in this book, but personal to us. And then to make sure that everyone, everywhere, had an opportunity to hear about Jesus, the tough places as well as the easy places. And I think the challenge for me, and I hope it was a challenge for you from last week, was to see this call as an invitation to do something more with our lives than we're doing now. Because I never want to plateau. I always want to be doing more. And there is more for each one of us to do. And don't ever tell me you're too old or you're too young looking in this direction. And those new believers, AD 33, went on. And they shared the story, as I've said, and they shared the story and shared the story, and that's how the church has grown and spread through the earth. It's why we're here, isn't it? Because people took that commission seriously and shared Jesus' story. Why? Because do we still need to share Jesus' story now? Well, we know our neighbors need to hear it. But out in that wide, wide world of the 8 billion people, 3 billion people have limited opportunity to hear about Jesus. Just let that sink. 3 billion people. Now, I want you to know that this commission, it's easy and not so easy at the same time, which sounds a bit like an oxymoron. You know, two things that are different can't be true at the same time. Two and two can't make five, but sometimes they do. And so I'm going to do a little illustration here. I've never done this before, so I hope it's going to work. But we're going to pretend that in my life, I have led four people to the Lord. And so if those four people that I've led to the Lord would like now to come onto the platform, these are the people that have got saved because of my witness in there. And so now how many are we on the platform? Okay. Now what if in their lifetime these four people led four people to the Lord? Okay, so would the four people that they've led to the Lord please come up? Well done. Okay, I'm going to get ready with your maths. So we went from me to five. And do you know how many people were on the platform now? 21 people. Well, if they, this new 16 that went up here, went on to lead people, four people to the Lord, we'd be 85 people here. But what if some of them led 40 to the Lord or 400 to the Lord? Do you see how doable this task is? Jesus isn't asking us to do something impossible, but very doable, to share his story, to open up the word, to let our lives speak to people, to give our testimony. That's all it has been. And here we go, 21 people, because I shared with four people, theoretically. Okay, guys, thank you so much for your participation. Give them a clap. Thank you, thank you. I mean, I could have had 85 up there. That would have been fun. But there's, you know, and I know that the time is short. I live my life thinking time is short. But actually, we have a wonderful God who's giving us the time we need. And so there's a scripture in 2 Peter 3:9, if we bring that up. It says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but here's our friend, but everyone to come to repentance." And everyone here means all people. Just God wants all of us. The invitation is for all of us to come to know him and to repent of our sins and be fully his. Now, this slide has a bit of a backstory, so if you wouldn't mind just popping it up again. Between the branches of the tree there is a tombstone to a man called Gordon Magni. And Gordon is a very special person to me. He is buried in a Central Asian graveyard, as you see here. But he is very, very much alive in heaven. He is the man that inspired me to be involved in work overseas. And not just me, he inspired hundreds of young people and older people to be involved in work overseas. And he led many hundreds, possibly thousands of people, to the Lord in his lifetime. He died in service doing what he loves to do. And the words on his memorial stone are, he served God's purpose in his own generation. I want that on my gravestone. I'd love people to be able to say of me, she served God's purpose in her generation. Wouldn't you like that written on your own stone, that we serve the purposes of God in our generation? But I said I'd go to the back of the book and introduce us to everyone, so I'm just going to do that. We'll go to the back of the book, and that's the book of Revelation. And I'm just going to pull out a couple of references to everyone from there, because everyone comes in sets of four in the book of Revelation. I don't know if you've ever spotted that, but here's the first one, Revelation 5:9. For you, that's Christ, was slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe, language, people. Can I get the fourth finger up? I have to do it that way. And nation. Revelation 7:9 on the next slide. And after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne of God. Revelation 10:11, there's kings appear in that set of four. And 17:15, multitudes appear. So the question is, as I said at the beginning, who is everyone? Well, this is everyone. It's nations, it's tribes, it's peoples, it's languages, and multitudes and kings. So why did John need to bring up four different categories? Why couldn't he have said, just a great group of people, there's a huge group of people, why the four? Well, I think it's a bit like north, south, east, and west. East and west. It's the different perspectives that we really get to understand the inclusivity of God's purposes and plans. Aren't we glad that God's inclusive? Otherwise, I wouldn't be here if he'd just stuck to that one chosen nation, but he opened it up and made it available for all of us. So, tribe, language, people, he wanted to emphasize the gospel is for all of us. Because no matter how we try to describe it, this is who everyone is. We are representatives of everyone. And a reminder that, as we've heard already, all people are precious to God. And no race, no ethnicity, no background exempts us from his gospel, being recipients of his gospel message. None of us are excluded. Now, this word nation that was there at the beginning, I am dropping my scarf here. Jessie had been pointing this out to me, and I was trying to work out what she said, was saying. Thanks, Jessie. She's looking after my dress protocol. Thank you very much. So this is not the nations like we have Nation of Australia. It's the everybody that shares the same characteristics of language and race. So we'd call them people groups maybe nowadays. And these, of course, these days, because of the refugees, people groups are scattered across the world, and we've got many people groups sitting here today. Well, if you're a reader of the Bible, you'll come across this word that's translated nation. It's word ethne, which we get ethnicity from. And it means, often it's translated in the Bible, Gentile, i.e. a non-Jewish nation. So everybody who isn't Jewish was a Gentile. And Richie spoke last week about the Apostle Paul's conversion. And so I just need to take a tiny detour into the Apostle Paul's life, because I think he's a fantastic example of a cross-cultural missionary. And Paul and Barnabas had been preaching to the Jews in the synagogue in Antioch on a Sabbath, and the ethne, the Gentiles, said, please come and preach to us too. Wouldn't we like it if people would do that? I'm just even going to digress again. Sorry for rabbit trails, but it's one of the habits that we people like me have. It's old age, actually. But no. I was walking in the city where we lived, and a girl came to me, and she said, can you tell me what born again means? She said, and this is not a Christian country. She said, everywhere I go, I was in a bookshop, and somebody was talking about born again. And I opened up a book, and there it said born again. So could you tell me what born again means? I mean, open door. Well, here it is in Antioch, this open door, the nations, the ethne saying, please come and preach to us. And so Paul and Barnabas came and they spoke to them. And he just describes his calling. Let's continue to hear the call of God on our lives because he is speaking to each one of us. And this slide, it says, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I've made you a light for the Gentiles, dear brother and sister, a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. There's a call for ends of the earth on some lives here. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and they honored the word of the Lord. And there is something very special that this proud former Jewish Pharisee had the other nations on his heart, the ethne on his heart, and he chose to devote his life to them. It cost him a lot. It cost him a lot to give up and go to these other people, but he could not rest until the nations of the world have an opportunity to hear about Jesus. I hope we sit with pins on our seats, that we cannot rest until the nations of the world have had this opportunity. And Paul, was in contact with some really rough people. The roughness of the neighborhood in which you live isn't an excuse. You just have to read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11 to get the idea of how rough some of those people were. But I think one of the reasons Paul listed that roughness, the horrible things that people get up to, was that no matter how lost people may be, God is able to save them from their sin and make them into a new person in Christ. No matter how degrading some people's behavior is, God is able to save them from their sin and make them a new person in Christ. No matter how addictive a person's behavior is, or enslaving, substance abuse is, God is able to save them from their sin and make them a new person in Christ. And God does it because he cleanses, he heals, he saves. That's the message of the gospel that we're taking out when we share our lives with people. Brings it back to our task. It's our task. They won't hear any other way. God is sovereign. He does speak through dreams and visions, but it's our task. And it doesn't matter about the hardships. They fall away when we're in the center of God's will, doing what he asks us to do. And Paul knew it, and that's why he was willing to bear everything that happened to him. And then, church, we bear a responsibility to disciple those believers so that they also will grow in Christ, feel that commission to take the gospel out into the world until everybody gets that invitation. But going back to my list, nations, tribes, peoples, languages, multitudes, kings, nations are the ethne. Tribes, that's about the people we belong to. My clan, my mob, the indigenous peoples of Africa and Asia and Russia and Greenland, of Australia and New Zealand and Canada and America. and so many more countries are around the world. Peoples, so we've got north, south, east. Well, the peoples, just in case you were missing from a clan or a nation, just means person. So that's each one of us. So the peoples are us. And the languages, well, we all speak a language. And so we're all of us from all of these groups around the throne, worshiping God at the end of the book. Yeah. Multitudes, well, that's just a reminder of how innumerable these were to John. He couldn't count how many people there were. It actually comes, the word comes from the word riot. You know, that passion that gets a crowd of people onto the street. But this was a passion to worship God and give their life to him that had them round the throne. And kings, a good reminder to us that leaders need the gospel too. They do, don't they? They do. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you to the end of the always to the end of the age." And all peoples, that's our friend Ethne again, the peoples of the nations. So who is everyone? Well, Jesus showed us, didn't he? All the promises of God through Christ are for women as well as men. They're for men as well as women. They're for Jew, they're for non-Jew. John chapter 4 tells the story of Jesus who went and spoke with a non-Jew, a Samaritan woman, by a well, and then preached in her village, stayed in her village. Matthew 15, Jesus went out of the Jewish-speaking world into the Greek-speaking world and spoke to a Syrophoenician woman and healed her daughter. We know Jesus spoke to the poor people and the sick people and their families. He spoke to the rich people. He spoke to thieves. He spoke to prostitutes. He spoke to tax collectors. He spoke to religious hypocrites. And he spoke to the sincerely religious. And he didn't forget the youth or the young people, the children and the elderly. I said earlier in this message today that this was an easy and not easy commission. Well, sometimes it's not easy, if we have that next slide up, because these nations don't always live in easy to access places. Everybody isn't always ready to hear what we've got to say. And sometimes when you do tell everybody and his family and friends, they don't quite like what you're saying. But that doesn't mean that we don't go and tell them. It doesn't mean that the invitation isn't for them too. Jesus came for the people we don't like, because he likes them, actually. He loves them a lot. And so it's not up to me whether I like the person or not. I was just thinking back in those days, nobody liked the tax collectors or the Samaritans, but Jesus had a tax collector as his disciple, and he used the Samaritans in his stories. You know, he loves everybody, everywhere, and everyone deserves that invitation to come to belong to him, deserves to hear the gospel. And even the most unlikely of people, you know, Richie spoke of Saul's conversion to Paul. Even the most unlikely people can respond and become his. "For you, Christ, were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation." Christ was slain to redeem, purchase, ransom, restore everyone to God's family. Not everyone will accept the invitation, but everybody deserves to be invited to this party, don't they? And when we get to heaven, we're going to meet this great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, all tribes, all peoples, all languages, standing before the throne of God. Like the sand grains of sand on the sea, numberless. But each one known to God. He knows the names of each one. He knows their history, loves them to bits. People yet to be born, people that were born thousands of years ago. Beautiful picture of the church, too, that accepts everybody. There's nobody that is excluded from belonging to the family of God. The only criteria is that your sin is repented of and your heart and your lifestyle are surrendered to God. That's the only criteria. So this is everyone, just drawing to a conclusion here. This is that world map on the school wall. But the seniors in the class had written their names into this map. So there's Wesley by Israel, maybe too small for you to see it, but Benjamin is by Mali, Hannah is by Monaco, Jonas is by Uganda. What country has your name on it? And it's okay to say Australia, because Australia is part of everyone too. God calls some of us to foreign cultures and to speak to people where they're living in those lands, to bring the gospel in their language for their people. But God calls others to stay here, to be witnesses in their home countries and support in prayer and finances those he sends out. And God calls us, church, to disciple these believers. So it's my prayer that today, sitting here, and you people at home too, that you've been stirred to see everyone in a new way. Yes. And to recognize that we people sitting here and you sitting at home, we're called, we're commissioned to take that gospel to everyone, to all peoples, to all nations, and it's just about sharing Christ's story. And what he's done to us, that's all it is. And in a few moments, I'm just going to ask Pastor David to come up and pray. But my prayer for you is that you can say, as your life moves along, that I have served, or that I am serving the purposes of God in my generation.